Big Les's League, an all rugby league experience. Hello, welcome back to Big Les's League. Let's go through your round six Friday. What about this Friday? What about this start to the week? We've had absolute bangers three times in a row. The Melbourne Storm and the Bulldogs and the Dolphins and the Broncos. We've definitely had a very, very solid start to the round with some absolute bangers. Let's get into your Friday games though. The Melbourne Storm and the Bulldogs and then the Broncos and the Dolphins. This Storm and Dogs game was absolutely unbelievable. Some big performances from both teams. Obviously for the Melbourne Storm, guys like Ryan Pappenhausen starting to find his form again. Cameron Munster taking 19 runs, really good to see. Obviously with this groin injury still troubling him, for him to get 19 runs in this game, really, really solid for 133 metres as well. Really solid impact in this game. Husey as well, picking his moments, his kicking game, just impeccable like it was last week as well when Cam Munster, Ryan Pappenhausen and these guys didn't really stand up as much. I thought that Jerome Hughes was great again. Obviously, Josh King in the middle was unbelievable. Obviously, the Melbourne Storm, they went through a bunch of adversity to, you know, throughout this game. Obviously, losing Tui Kakamitha, you know, at the start of the game. They lost Tepai Moroa at the midpoint of the game. They only had two forwards on their bench. Then they had Ryan Pappenhausen sent to the bin as well towards the back end of the game. They had plenty of dramas, but for them to pull through and only just get the win at the end from a last-minute try from Sean Blore, huge, huge win here for the Melbourne Storm. And the Bulldogs, they are just getting better every single week. They have been absolutely phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal, the Bulldogs. And, you know, for them to dominate the, you know, Melbourne Storm in that second half like they did, and that isn't sugarcoating it at all, they dominated this Melbourne Storm side for majority of that second half. Bronson Sherry, you know, Josh Adokar, Jacob Kiraz running 30 times for 307 metres. They had some massive performances in this game, some massive performances. Credit to this Bulldogs side. They really had a tough crack for most of this game. The only disappointing thing is the fact that they didn't win the game at the end. They probably should have. Their defense probably should have shored up towards the back end of that game, letting that try in from Sean Blore. Obviously, the Melbourne Storm, they really turned it on in that last few minutes to get Sean Blore that try, but the Dogs, very surprised that they didn't defend that one. But regardless, the Dogs were phenomenal for majority of that game, particularly in that second half. They were outstanding. Let's talk about the Melbourne Storm first, though. Obviously, the first half, the Melbourne Storm, the Bulldogs, they're going head-to-head. It is a tough game at halftime. Yes, the Melbourne Storm are up 10-0, and the Dogs are making a lot of errors. Their completion rate, not the best. But the Dogs are in this game. They're defending tough. They're hungry. Their attack was great. Halftime, yes, 10-0. But the Dogs, you know, for all of the things that they did wrong in that first half, for them to stay level with the Melbourne Storm is just incredible. And then for them to do what they did in the second half, as I said, great. But yeah, a little bit concerning for the Melbourne Storm. Obviously, having the better completion rate, getting a lot more of the ball. They ended up finishing the game with a 79% completion rate, 31 from 39 sets. They had the better completion rate. They had more of the ball in that first half. Obviously, the second half, the ball went to the Dogs. But if we're talking exclusively about the first half, Melbourne, they had a lot of the ball, but they were unable to execute. They were unable to, you know, score a lot of points with the football in hand for majority of that first half, which is a little bit concerning, but it was a gritty, tough game. The Bulldogs, you can't take anything away from their defense. They were absolutely outstanding in this game. Melbourne's attack, though, and as we said, Cam Munster, Jerome Hughes, Ryan Pappenhausen standing up in this one as the spine and having a terrific game. Ryan Pappenhausen finished the game with 146 metres, 17 post-contact metres, had a line break, two line break assists, and seven tackle busts. He was outstanding there, very, very creative there at fullback, taking a lot of runs, which was very different to what we saw last week from him. And it was a great sign, though, an absolutely great sign from Ryan Pappenhausen. It's exactly what you want to see, especially after last week where, as we said, didn't get too many touches of the football. It was great to see him have a dig in this one. Cameron Munster, we talked about it at the start of the review, but him just getting a lot more involved, 19 runs with this groin injury. He came out earlier in the week and said he was only going to be 70% for the year in terms of his fitness without injury, which was a little bit concerning going into this game, and especially after the past performance we saw from him in round 5. Very scary going into this game, but for him to have 19 runs, run for the 133 metres, get his hands on the ball quite a bit, setting up for his men, throwing a lot of inside balls and just creating opportunities left, right and centre. 50 post contact metres, he had 4 tackle busts in this game, 23 tackles as well. Cam Munster had a blinder there at number 6. Really, really solid game from him. Jerome Hughes, 110 metres, 24 post-contact metres. He had 2 line breaks, 4 tackle busts, 2 hit-ups there for him as well, 10 tackles. I thought he was great, and then kicked the ball as well quite a bit, 333 metres. Even Cam Munster, with that groin injury, managed to kick the ball 225 metres. So obviously not troubling him as much as what we thought, and especially with the hints that he gave earlier in the week. You know, not troubling him much at all. 8 kicks in this game for 255 metres. Now, we talked about Josh King through the middle. Fuck, if there was any player that you could single out in this Melbourne Storm side as to who gave this team the most go forward through the middle of the park, it was Josh King, 167 metres. He had 17 hit-ups, 57 post-contact metres in there, a tackle bust, 28 tackles, 0 miss. Absolute mongrel performance there from Josh King. He's had some tough games, some really tough games. And even in some weeks where the stats maybe don't show it, just watching the game and watching him, he's had some big weeks. He's looked really, really good there in the front row. And then, as we said, Christian Welsh having a big night off the bench, 110 metres, 45 post-contact metres, 11 hit-ups there. With 2 tackle busts, 22 tackles. I thought that Christian Walsh was very good coming off the bench, and especially when they lost 2 of their front rowers, Alec McDonald and Tui Kakamitha. Both Josh King for me and Christian Walsh stood up in this game big time for the Melbourne Storm. As for the Bulldogs, it was a gritty performance, and as we said, in that second half, they were definitely the better team. Some big standouts in this one all across the back line. Obviously, a late change in this game. Kiraz goes to right wing. Stephen Crichton goes to right centre. Connor Tracy goes to fullback. Bronson Sherry and Addo Carr on that left-hand side, unbelievable. But this right-hand side too was outstanding. Jacob Kiraz getting a lot of football in this one with 30 runs per 307 metres, 71 kick return metres, 95 post-contact metres. He had a line break assist, 6 tackle busts in this game as well. He was outstanding, Jacob Kiraz. Outstanding. Phenomenal performance. And obviously in the previous game with Manu breaking the running record with 370 metres, Kiraz having 30 runs for 307 metres. It almost makes Manu's performance look better, but it almost makes Jacob Kiraz's performance look amazing as well, because Kiraz was on the wing and pulling up these sort of numbers. Absolutely incredible. We talked about that left-hand side for the Bulldogs. Bronson Sherry, 20 runs for 201 metres. He had 51 post-contact metres, 2 line breaks, 3 line break assists, 2 try assists. He had 3 tackle busts in this game. About to say 33 tackle busts. That would have been hyperbolic a little bit, but 3 tackle busts in this game. He was great. And then Addo Carr as well, 3 tries, 243 metres, 31 post-contact metres, 5 line breaks, 6 tackle busts. Unreal there on the wing, Josh Addo Carr. Drew Hutchison, I thought, was a lot better this week, just being a little bit more direct, giving good service. But Matt Burton was the standout half for me. Some of those bomb kicks, and particularly just high kicks, trying to get it to the other side of the field. He had 291 kick meters off 11 kicks, 6 bombs in this game as well, putting a lot of pressure on those wingers there, Xavier Coates and Will Warbrick. Speaking of Melbourne performances, I thought Xavier Coates was great as well, to be honest. I thought Xavier Coates had a massive game, 17 runs, 161 metres, 25 post-contact in this one. I thought that he was quite good. But going back to the Bulldogs, yeah, Matt Burton was great. His kicking game, again, really solid. They didn't move him to the centres, which was good to see. Kept his spot there in the number 6 jersey, but his kicking game was very important for the Dogs to get the win in this one. Well, to nearly get the win in this one, I should say. He was unreal. Those bomb kicks were pivotal and obviously put a lot of pressure, as I said, on those wingers for the Melbourne Storm. They tried to pressure Connor Tracy a lot out the back with some high kicks as well, the Melbourne Storm. But Connor Tracy, under pressure, did very well at fullback. 112 metres from 21 runs of the football. He had 36 post contact metres, 2 tackle busts in this game. I thought he was really solid there at fullback. I thought he did a very, very good job. And I think that he'll probably be the fullback moving forward for this side. 21 runs, getting heavily involved in this game. I think he will be the fullback moving forward. I think Blake Taff, if Connor Tracy comes out and has these type of performances, particularly getting this side out of trouble quite a bit with his kick returns, you know, I think that he could definitely be the guy for them at fullback moving forward, which would mean that Blake Taff either be in a 14 jersey or be in reserve grade. We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, he was outstanding the other night, Connor Tracy. He was great at fullback. Now, I feel like we talk about this guy every fucking week with the Bulldogs, every week. But Josh Curran through the middle of the field, 174 metres off 19 runs, 63 post contact, 17 hit ups, 2 tackle busts, obviously 34 tackles with only 1 miss, really stood up with Max King out of this side. They did miss Max King, and I feel like with Max King through the middle, they would have just got a little bit more go forward. They'd probably win this game too defensively through the middle of the park. But yeah, I thought Josh Curran really stood up. He's had another big week here for the Bulldogs. Talk about Origin Smokies. Josh Curran, fuck, I would not put it past you. Now, he's not a guy you think about, but he's a guy that I'm thinking about right now. He's had some massive weeks. He started the season very well. You know, not the biggest forward you've ever seen, but, you know, the past few weeks in the front row, he has looked so dangerous and so solid, and he just has big performances week in, week out. Josh Curran, I'm telling you now, as a Blues fan, would not be surprised if he is a little bit of a Madge selection there, potentially in the reserves. He's had a really big start to the year. Now, Bailey Hayward, I thought, was great as well. Obviously, coming onto the field for 39 minutes, playing a little bit of lock forward. I thought that he was quite good, had 2 hit-ups in this game. You know, ran for his conventional 24 metres, but I thought defensively he was solid. 23 tackles there. Did a really solid job defensively, and that's all they really needed him to do. Didn't have too many runs, only had the 3 runs of the football, but just defensively solid. I thought he did a great job in his debut. Who else? Sam Hughes. Other than that stupid penalty he gave away for the 10 minutes in the bin that he had, I thought he was quite good. Had 10 runs for 90 metres in this game, 43 post contact. He had 9 hit ups, 34 tackles, only 1 miss. It was just a silly penalty to give away, the forearm to the face. Other than that, I thought he had a really solid game, and yeah, hopefully he doesn't get suspended for too long. Another guy that I thought, you know, for his 43-minute stint was solid there through the middle, Jack Turpin. I thought that he was quite solid. Obviously, 42 metres, you know, not really showing up too much in attack, but in defense had that 36 tackles again. Defensively, these two guys I thought were great. I probably wouldn't go with Jake Turpin again at 13. I don't think that's the way I'd be going, but it's good to see that, you know, both of these guys who are traditionally halves, traditionally hookers, coming in having big defensive performances. That's exactly what the Bulldogs needed. It's exactly what this side needed too. So it was great to see that. You know, Viliami Kikau for the first half especially, but, you know, just throughout the game, really solid there, running over his opponents, 100 metres off 10 runs, 23 post-contact metres in there as well, 8 hit-ups, 5 tackle busts, 28 tackles in this game with only 2 miss. I thought that he was just so hard to handle for the Melbourne Storm. He was running over Jerome Hughes. Nick Meaney had 6 missed tackles in that first half. All 6 of them were trying to defend Viliami Kikau. Just so hard to handle there on that left-hand side. We talked about the left-hand side already for the Bulldogs. Viliami Kikau, Bronson Sherry, Josh Adokar. This has got to be the left-hand side for them moving forward. I cannot see Blake Wilson getting a spot back in this side over Bronson Sherry after the past 2 weeks. Really solid stuff from Bronson Sherry. Josh Adokar, great as well on his return. Viliami Kikau, this needs to be the left-hand side moving forward. I think this needs to be the Bulldogs' back line moving forward as well. Connor Tracy at fullback, Critter and Karaz on the right-hand side with Bronson Sherry and Josh Adokar on the left-hand side. I think this has to be, as I said, the Bulldog side moving forward. For them to do what they did against the Melbourne Storm, nearly winning this game, you know, a try in the 74th minute to win the game there for the Melbourne Storm. The Bulldogs also looking like they could come back in this game towards the back end as well. You're super impressive, and they are a threat. I'm not saying they're top 8 threat. I'm not saying they're grand final threat. They're a little bit further away from that, but they are a threat in this competition. They are going to be a very hard team for opposition to handle going into the next few weeks. The only criticism I'd have here for the Dogs would be Chris Patolo, 15 minutes, and he started. What's going on there? And then obviously, Kitioni Kautoga only getting 13 minutes as well. Like, a little bit of a weird one in terms of their rotation. I mean, Jamin Salmon played the full 80 minutes. I probably would have taken him off and chucked on a Kitioni Kautoga for a little bit longer. It was just strange to see him get very short minutes in this game. Very, very strange. Let's move on, though, to the next game. Obviously, the Broncos and the Dolphins. What a clash this was. Let's start off with the Dolphins, obviously ripping off the Band-Aid here. The Dolphins started well. The first 20 minutes, they had a lot of pressure put on the Broncos with their attack. Obviously, the Brisbane Broncos, they did very well with their defense on their goal line. But for the first 5-10 minutes, it was pretty much all Dolphins. Dolphins had a lot of pressure put on the Broncos with their attack. They looked very good. Hamiso Tabuai-Vaidoa looked dangerous there at fullback as well. For the first 20 minutes, that hammer was on. He looked good. Obviously, so unfortunate for him to do his hamstring. So devastating for the Dolphins going into next week as well. Obviously, Cody Nikurima in the last few minutes of the game did his calf as well. So it is just loss upon loss upon loss for them. Hamiso Tabuai-Vaidoa, Cody Nikurima, adding that on to Tom Flegler. You know, obviously Herbie Farnworth as well, who they've lost. Felice Kaufusi, who defensively was rock solid to start the year. He's out of this side as well. They've lost a lot of players to start the season. It is quite concerning for them over the next few weeks, the Dolphins. But look, as we said for the Dolphins, the first 20 minutes or so, 15, 20 minutes or so, was their best. And then obviously the last 7 minutes was probably their best as well. But everything in between was just carnage. Error after error after error. And mind you, the Broncos were making plenty of errors themselves. I think the game got over the 30 error mark as well between both sides, which is pretty concerning. But obviously, at the same time, the Broncos, they definitely looked like the better team for most of this game. The Dolphins, their defense struggling a little bit in that middle part there between, you know, the first 20 minutes and obviously the last 10 minutes or so for the Dolphins. Everything in between that for the Dolphins was absolute carnage with their defense as well. They could not hold the Broncos out. In terms of some guys that I thought that still stood out for the Dolphins in this loss, I thought that Jack Bostock was outstanding. Every time he got the ball, he just looked dangerous. Ran for 156 meters, 36 post-contact meters, had a line break, 2 tackle busts in this game. But every time he got the ball, though, 16 times he ran the ball, just looked really, really dangerous. And particularly in that last few minutes, obviously when he scored that try as well, that freakish try on that left-hand side, and obviously had a few runs there towards the back end of the game. He looked really, really good. Every time he got the ball, he looked good. Now, for me personally, it didn't look like Jake Avarillo was very comfortable on that right-hand side. Obviously, he'd been playing left to start the year. They moved him over to the right to bring in Tessie New, obviously with Herbie Farnworth out. Jake Avarillo only had 66 run meters from 12 runs, which isn't the best. That's around 6 meters per run. So, just did not look comfortable on that right-hand side, Jake Avarillo. You know, there was a call to put him at fullback towards the back end of the game when they did lose Hamiso Tabuai-Vaidoa and things weren't clicking for them when they were spreading to their edges. Obviously, they missed Hamiso Tabuai-Vaidoa and his speed and his ball playing on those edges as well. So they just didn't look as crisp and obviously led to a lot of errors as well. It would have been good to see Jake Avarillo maybe get a chance at fullback. Some more positives, though. I thought that Isaiah Katoa, despite a loss, obviously didn't have the best performance, but still had 17 runs of the footy, ran for 100 metres, had 10 post-contact metres and 2 tackle busts in this game, kicked for 207 metres as well. You know, obviously, with the Dolphins not getting too much possession in that second half, making a lot of errors, I thought that, you know, Isaiah Katoa was still putting an effort in, still trying in this game to get his team back into this one. I thought that Jesse Bromwich was really good through the middle, had 11 runs for 103 metres, obviously 42 post-contact metres in there as well. I thought that Ray Stone was outstanding there at lock forward, had 12 runs for 107 metres, 47 post-contact metres, had a tackle bust in there as well, and then 31 tackles with only one missed. Ewan Aiken shared out to him, 41 tackles, only two missed. He ran for 110 metres, getting very involved on that edge. But what stood out for me the most for the Dolphins was their bench forwards. Mark Nichols coming off the bench, 18 runs, 170 metres, 69 post-contact metres, 17 hit-ups for him as well. He was outstanding, 28 tackles, 0 missed. Great effort off the bench in a losing side. And then Jared Wallace, 158 metres from 14 runs, had 49 post-contact metres, had 7 hit-ups, 17 tackles in this game as well in a 49-minute stint. I thought it was pretty good. Definitely changed the tide a little bit for the Dolphins when he came onto the field. They started to get a little bit more momentum through the middle. They have been missing him, I feel like, in their forward pack for the past few weeks. They've needed a Jared Wallace, who is just 110% for you every single week. He was really good for me coming off the bench for the Dolphins, and so was Mark Nichols. Anthony Milford, there was a few errors in there, obviously, that overshadowed most of his performance. Obviously, by the end of the game, had three errors. But there were moments for Anthony Milford. Obviously, he's just coming straight off a hamstring injury, coming straight into this team as a replacement. So in that regard, I thought he did quite well coming off the bench. It just wasn't the Dolphins' night for me. Obviously, a lot of injuries as well, which is going to hurt them going into the next few weeks. But it definitely wasn't the Dolphins' night. After that first 20 minutes, they got absolutely done by the Broncos, and particularly in that second half, that pretty much shut the gate on any chance of the Dolphins coming back in this game. Let's talk about the Broncos now. Obviously, the standout for me was Reece Walsh there at fullback. 12 runs, 161 metres, 13 post-contact metres, 3 tackle busts in there. First game coming back from that facial fracture. Thought he did very, very well. And for him to come back that quickly and put on the performance that he did, looked so dangerous there at fullback. Just looked like no one could handle him. Did have the three errors, obviously two of those being handling errors. He's just a player that wants the ball in his hands all the time. And that's what I love about Reece Walsh. He's just a competitor. He wants the ball in his hands every single set just to try and make something up for his team. I thought that he was great there at fullback, Reece Walsh. Selwyn Cobbo, I thought, was outstanding as well. 200 metres from 15 runs, had 46 post-contact metres, 8 tackle busts there for Selwyn Cobbo. He was just unstoppable, then had 10 tackles at centre as well. He was great there at in the centres. So dangerous every time they went to that left-hand side. And even Vossie was saying it as well in the commentary. This could be one of the more dangerous left-hand sides in the competition, obviously. Corey Oates, Selwyn Cobbo, Reece Walsh roaming down that side. When they get Brendan Piacora back, that's just going to be one of the more dangerous left-hand sides in the competition. And he made a really good case for it too. And obviously, watching the Broncos over the first few weeks of the competition, I think you can make that case for yourself as well. But Selwyn Cobbo, Reece Walsh, they were the standouts in this one, particularly in that second half stint when the Broncos had a lot of momentum. These guys were just creating havoc for the opposition. Ezra Mamm as well, didn't play the full game. I had a little bit of an ankle niggle, which sort of limited him a bit. Only had 7 runs in this game in total. Would like to see him get a little bit more involved in games. I mean, Jock Madden had more runs, 11 runs for Jock Madden compared to 7 there from Ezra Mamm. Jock Madden, though, I thought he was great. His kicking game in this one, that torpedo kick that he shanked, obviously leading to a try there from Selwyn Cobbo, turned out to be a good thing. Nearly caught Cody Nikorima off guard with the second one as well, but it looked to be the one kick that got, obviously, Cody Nikorima under pressure and led to that Selwyn Cobbo try. But I thought that Jock Madden did his job, as we said he was going to do, coming into this side, just doing the simple things right, doing the little things right. He was always going to be good in this side. Obviously, always comes in and does a good job. So Jock Madden, decent performance from him. In terms of the forwards, I thought that Corey Jensen was great through the middle. Had 10 runs for 101 metres, 36 post-contact metres, and then had 32 tackles as well. I thought that Fletcher Baker, you know, only playing the 34 minutes, had 90 runs 90 meters off 8 runs. Had 7 hit-ups in this game as well with a tackle bust in there. 26 tackles, 0 miss. A lot better from Fletcher Baker this week. But the real standout in the forwards, for me at least, was Paddy Carrigan. I thought that he was outstanding. 23 runs of the football. 209 metres there for big Paddy Carrigan. 77 post-contact. Had 16 hit-ups, 3 tackle busts, and then in defence, 46 tackles, only 1 miss. An absolute monster there. For the Brisbane Broncos, Paddy Carrigan. And then obviously off the bench, Xavier Willison, unreal. 16 runs, 181 metres, 83 post-contact metres, had a line break, 6 tackle busts, and then 18 tackles there, only 2 missed. I thought that Xavier Willison, when he came onto the field, just so much impact, particularly in defence with his intensity. I thought that he was outstanding, one of the better players of the game as well. Xavier Willison coming off the bench, huge impact coming off the bench into this side. Kobe Hetherington was amazing as well. 84 metres for him off 8 runs, had 43 post-contact metres, 8 hit-ups for him with a tackle bust in there as well. In defence, 32 tackles, only 2 miss. Kobe Hetherington had a big night as well. 51-minute stint for him. I thought he looked really, really good, particularly, again, with the defensive intensity from him. Kobe Hetherington, Xavier Willison giving great impact off the bench and a lot of go forward to this side. Tristan Saylor obviously only played around 17 minutes. He played at 5'8 as well. I thought he looked quite good. Obviously didn't have the most minutes, but I thought that he looked quite dangerous when he came on. I just feel like things were going a little bit too fast for the Broncos. They almost couldn't keep up with themselves. And obviously that led to the last 20 minutes where the Dolphins looked quite good because the Broncos, they just couldn't keep the ball in their hands. They were moving too fast for themselves with their attack. But other than that, for most of the game, as we said, the Broncos were the better side and obviously didn't give away too many set restarts. In fact, they only gave away one set restart to the Dolphins. They did have a host of errors in this game, but yeah, they only gave away the one set restart right at the end of the game as well. The Broncos were really disciplined, I thought, at least with their defense. It was mainly just errors from the Broncos that, you know, somewhat kept this game from going to that 40-point margin and obviously kept the Dolphins from making an impact in this game as well. It was just errors. As we said, the errors got around the 30 mark, which is not good at all. We look at the error count now. I'm just going to find it. It was 16 errors for the Dolphins, 17 for the Broncos. So all up, obviously, 33 errors there. In terms of penalties conceded as well, the Broncos conceded 8 penalties. The Dolphins should have probably capitalized on those a little bit better. The Dolphins obviously only conceding the 1 penalty, so I guess you can consider that as a positive too for the Dolphins. As I said, though, a lot of errors in this game. The Broncos capitalized off errors a little bit better. They were making a lot of errors themselves, which, again, cost them from getting to that 40-point game for the Broncos. Reece Walsh was great in his return. Ezra Mamm did okay. Would have liked to have seen him have more runs, but did well with the runs that he did have and looked dangerous setting things up on that left-hand side. Obviously, Xavier Willison, Kobe Hetherington off the bench providing a lot of go forward. Paddy Carrigan doing what he always does. Jordan Rickey on the edge too, I thought was great. 10 runs, 111 metres, 51 post-contact metres, and then in defence as well, 35 tackles, only 1 missed there. So, solid night from the Broncos. They just need to fix up those errors against the top 8 side. They would have struggled. So, just fixing up those errors for the Broncos is going to be the key thing going into next week. That's full time. See you in the next one.